we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with Danielle Dury, a wife, mother, and small business owner hailing from Montgomery County, who decided to start a group known as Unmasking Montco, which eventually became the Montgomery County version of Reopen Bucks. Welcome, Danielle. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, can I just say how badass it is to name your group Unmasking Montco? We have to address that like right out of the gate.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, it literally, that was my MO, you know, that was the goal, to unmask Montco. Yeah.
You started your group right in that like, May, June, whatever. And my recollection is like Mass had kind of taken over by then, but you had pretty much all the reopen groups, especially even around here. They were like, just wear the mask because we can get places open. Like,
yes,
there weren't too many people who were adopting that approach.
No, it was kind of radical at the time. And I've never, you know, saw myself as a radical before. So it's kind of interesting.
So walk me through starting the group. I want to say probably a month or so after ours is like my recollection. It's a little fuzzy.
You guys were April, right?
We were late. So Reopen PA was April. We started early May.
Okay. So it was, I think it was June 1st. Okay. That I started the group. I think the mask mandate went into effect, early May, if I remember. I mean, let's be honest, I can't forget this time period. So I believe that it was definitely early May.
It's kind of weird thinking back because it's like a different world back then.
Scary world. Yeah. And I had a real visceral reaction. I was not going to wear this mask. If you wanted to wear the mask, by all means, absolutely. But I could not bring myself to actually think that this was necessary ever in a million years. And so I was talking to my neighbor and I said, hey, listen, I have this idea. It's kind of crazy. Hear me out. And she, again, also hated the masks. And her name is also Danielle, ironically. And I said, would you help me admin this group if I start this? And she said, sure. And that it was based on, it's very simple psychology. I mean, really, they used fear to make you wear the masks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have power in numbers. And when people see that there's no repercussion for you taking the mask off, they'll take them off. They see more people in a store without them on, they're going to take them off. So that was the whole premise of the group when I started it. It was just
interesting. Getting
people.
So the goal was like maskless shopping type trips.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it didn't. Actually, it kind of took on its own form.
I mean, you became the reopen movement in Montco.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
Because there are other groups in the area and stuff, but there's really like one resistance is what you find in each area like that.
Yeah, yeah, we were the resistance. Yeah, yeah. I had to creative ways of like trying to hide the group because, you know, we weren't Bucks County, that's for sure. And we had a lot of...
You guys had a whole different mountain to climb with Montco. It's been wild.
It was scary. It was scary because there literally was like a line. Like you guys seemed like Florida to a certain extent.
Bucks is the Florida.
Whereas in Montgomery County, it was just like ominous. You know, you felt ominous all the time.
We're still trying to detangle the story of like what happened in Montco. I feel like in Bucks, we still have a couple of pieces that need to be put together and answered, you know, but in Montco, it's like there were so many people doing shady things. It's really hard to put it all together.
I don't know that we ever will. I mean, it especially since we can't actually get anywhere with anything anyway. So you're kind of stopped because everybody seems to be on the same page within, you know, the powers that be.
Yeah, the politics is rough in Montco for sure.
Definitely.
There's not a lot of support for unmasking.
Mm-hmm. It's all politics, right? You're absolutely right. And they were so afraid. Places were so afraid of the health department and of the county itself coming in. And
so tell me about that. Because we had here in Bucks, the health department, I do recall when we were in red phase, you know, they'd go out to restaurants that were open and carry their clipboard in and stuff. Pretty much by like midsummer, even with the mask mandate in place, they kind of were backing off of that.
Yeah.
And then a couple months after that, you really never heard from the health department, like ever getting involved again with that stuff. Yeah. But I consistently heard, I mean, all the way up until the December shutdowns and then during those December shutdowns of 2020, just crazy harassment from the Department of Health over Munko.
Yeah, well, I think they were on a power trip. You know, they had this power that they knew people feared them. And, you know, when you have people, some people really take advantage of that. And I think it goes to people's heads.
Big time.
Again, another psychology thing. I mean, this is all just psychology. And if you can step back and see it all and see the bigger picture, you can help dismantle it just by taking emotion out of it.
I'm curious how much of it is this Valar Koosh, the chair, who happens to be a doctor. And I think, like, I haven't paid as much attention to the politics across county line, but she just really strikes me as somebody who, like, it would go straight to her head, the perception of some medical device like a mask or a vaccine or whatever it is going to, like, save the whole world. So she's the hero.
Yeah, well, and at the time, I don't, you know, none of us knew that she was probably eyeing that Senate seat.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, putting her in good regard with the powers that be that would help select that person.
So being the resistance in Munko, do you know why she's dropped out?
No, I don't know any of that. Okay. No,
I'm
going
to put
say.
Out. I think she made a deal to get Department of Health, Secretary of Health or whatever in Harrisburg.
I bet you're probably right. Yeah. I'm sure there's a power move for her. You know, some people believe that her campaign was just to a funding for money, like a, you know, gathering to give to whoever.
Well,
Fetterman,
Josh Shapiro
is from
Munko, so
yes,
I'm sure they're very close.
I mean,
were they ever commissioners at the same time?
Yes, they were. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Done. Commissioners at the same time.
Figured it out.
Yeah, the
one
connection.
One piece of the Munko puzzle is done. Yeah. Wow.
Only 3,000 and one more to go.
Well, what about some of the other big players in Munko who have just been shady as all get out? I mean, obviously Val and everything that the county has done, the Department of Health has done. You guys are a little bit more affected by David Rubin, right?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Rubin. Yeah, CHOP Policy Lab. Yes, our schools really took a liking to Dr. Rubin, and I think that also had to do with the fact that we had a lot of loyalists to Val, and she said, here's Rubin. And he said, well, I have all the answers to how to get your kids back into school, and what a fun trip that has been, you know, and I don't know that there was a single school district in Montgomery County that resisted him in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I think he infiltrated every single district to some degree, which is scary.
Yeah. I mean, you had in November, it was essentially his decision, is my understanding, that schools should shut down for a couple weeks or a few weeks.
Yes.
That didn't happen over in Bucks. And it kind of set the stage for, you know, Bucks County got their kids back in school much quicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then all throughout, even this past year, like just with quarantine policies being different and how much time kids have spent in school, it's very different between the two counties. And it's sad when you think about it. Like, what was it for?
Politics? I mean, really, what else could it have been for? I mean, even now, knowing what we know in the 2 years, and there's still so many who are just absolutely resistant to the actual science, you know, the actual science, not the political science to it. And people will not relent. They won't say, you know what, I was wrong.
That's impossible nowadays.
No, that's because it's politics. Yep. It's not, I mean, everything that you know that we find out on a daily basis, it just proves that our original, you know, inkling was this wasn't about an actual virus. This was always about controlling people and politics, you know, getting an upper hand, which is sick. And at the expense of our children.
I always felt like going back to the masking thing and unmasking Munko, the particular element of control there and the reason we opposed it right from the get-go was that if you go into a grocery store and everybody's masked, it feels like you should have quarantine. Mm-hmm. You should have all of this other stuff going on. Schools should be shut down. Like, wow, this is a scary thing. So all of these things are okay. Whereas when you don't have masks, people can kind of, you know, figure out for themselves what they want to do. Or not when you don't have masks, but when it's like optional and it's kind of usually.
It's
like
a constant reminder.
Exactly.
It is a constant reminder to fear something that you couldn't see, right? And it kept you from speaking to your neighbors, and it kept you from talking to the people in the grocery store. I mean, I'm a very social person, so, you know, I like to smile at people. And when I went into businesses without my mask, I made sure I smiled at people and said hello and, you know, acted like I owned the place. But that was because that partly that's my personality, but it's also, you know, because I think people need to see smiling, happy people in such a dark time. And I don't think any of that really was to protect a single person. It was just to control people.
So when you go back to, you started the group, decided this was going to be like the trajectory, the goal that we're going to go for. How did you grow it? Like, what happened from there? Because you're trying to get people who will go into stores maskless.
Yes.
That's kind of a big ask.
It was a big ask at the time. People were really not. I mean, I had quite a few. We had a core group of people who, you know, were definitely dedicated to doing that. But I put it in Reopen Monco, and I think I put it in Reopen Bucks too. And I got people joining. And obviously, we were like the 10th of the size of Reopen Bucks. But it's a community that's definitely, you know, some strong players in there, you know, who cross, you know, a lot of the people too, and they cross over, and some awesome things have grown from just unmasking Monco, which is great.
Well, that's where I go back to say, you know, it's almost like the sister group for Reopen Bucks across the border in Monco. It's not necessarily about size, because to be perfectly honest with you, with everybody, a lot of our size came from the fact that we hit like the very top of the wave when we opened, whereas maybe you came a little bit later. But what you got to do when you look at the groups is evaluate like quality. Mm-hmm. What are they doing and what are they getting
Absolutely.
Done? And there are some reopen groups which are huge, but you're like you know, what did it do? What's the purpose? What's the goal? What did we achieve? So I always felt like looking across the border that, I mean, we already said it, you definitely the resistance. And so how did you transition then from, you get a bunch of those core people who are doing the mask thing. I remember we had done that as well, like just some maskless shopping trips.
It was fun.
It was kind of fun.
It is fun, you know, a little scary.
Fun.
It gives you a little bit of a...
It's a thrill.
It is. Definitely. It was definitely a thrill. You know, every time you're taking... Because you didn't know what you're going to walk into some of these places. You know, if we would get intel from members, you know, I would say, oh, I had a problem at this place. And we're like, okay, we're going to go there and we're going to all, you know, go in. And the difference, you guys would all go in together. Which was great. We kind of would go and trickle in one at a time and pretend we didn't know each other. Walk around the store.
So it's literally like a flash mob.
Absolutely. Yeah. Walk around. You didn't even have to buy anything. I was like, just walk, get as much exposure in the store and as you could. And I remember we went to North Wales Target, and there were so many people. They didn't know what to do with us. You know, They couldn't figure out, well, why are all these people in here maskless, you know? And my sister came with me at the time, and we're just grocery shopping, like, you know, like a normal trip. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything. Nobody said a word to us, and it was great. But we had about 15 people. So, and it was helpful. And they came from all over the county. I mean, we had people come from Gilbertsville and, you know, down to North Wales to go shopping for probably stuff they didn't even need, you know?
Yeah.
But just so to help.
Eventually, over the summer, while this is going on, and masks kind of quickly became like the big thing, everything else starts popping up, like schools.
Yep.
We're going to be shut down. And we've already talked about like all the crap with that. How did you transition? Because the group is still called Unmasking Monco.
It is.
And I say I love that because it's a throwback, like
it is,
to that badass idea.
To that time.
But how did you,
it's retro.
How did that transition work once you were like, all right, we've got other things to do here, and it branches into supporting businesses and all of this?
Yes, that's what we did. We made a master list of businesses in Montgomery County that supported us and that then we, you know, then support it in return.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know, like, still today, ours is, you can tell on the backside, like when people interact with and see and use posts, that business's list post is still all the time being used by people.
Yeah. No, awesome. I know. I still get messages, people asking me, do you have that business list still? Because we had it up for a time in the group, but then kind of got scared with any trolls
getting
that could possibly
trouble,
get. Right, exactly. And we didn't want people visiting them. But there were some businesses that just didn't care. You know, come visit me, you know, see if I care.
Yeah.
And those were the core people.
And you guys do have, I mean, some of the very best. We had, Yanni from Coffee Corner on an earlier episode, I'm reminded of Franconia Cafe. Yeah. Like, I will always remember very fondly those days at Franconia when they were doing what they were doing. And they're just down the street here from us. Yeah. So we go there pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So you guys had some of the awesome people just really sticking themselves out there.
We did. I mean, I mean, Franconia was kind of like the anchor. You know, you had Franconia Cafe. You had Earl Bowl right up the street.
Mm.
And then you had the Dutch Cupboard, which is right there too. They never enforce masks.
All right, what's in the water in like Franconia?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I really believe it's the Mennonites. It's like, you know, the hardcore Mennonites. I mean, they weren't having this either. So, you know, and we supported those businesses. Those were the ones, you know, that really, I think a lot of people grew fond of.
How does it look now that we're hopefully done with, well, you guys are all done with, there's no mandates in Montgomery County, right?
No, there isn't, no.
So no mandates from a county perspective. What does it look and feel like when you just go to the store?
I mean, to me, it feels normal to an extent. I mean, there's still plexiglass at some places and there's still odd people, right? You know, but we'll see them, I think, forever.
Yeah.
I don't think those people are ever going to get over.
Like if you're wearing masks right now,
mm-hmm.
You're going to wear them
forever,
a long time.
Probably. Yeah. And I think it's sad, but, and I do feel for those people because I think it's just really hurt them, you know, and I think, you know, obviously we laugh and giggle sometimes, but I think in the core that is sad. It's heartbreaking that this has kind of broke them to a sense. But, when I go shopping, you know, at the time I didn't really want to take my kids anywhere. Because I didn't want them to experience
see it,
that. Yeah. And because I didn't think it was fair.
I can't relate to that.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't, and I didn't want to put masks on them. And I didn't want to have an altercation with them also there. But now, you know, you take them places, it's normal. It's relatively normal. I mean, they still see people who don't act normal, so to speak, but what are you going to do, right?
At least that's now fallen into the minority.
Right.
And that's a good point going back to like why to take the position of unmasking from the very beginning. For me, it was always about like looking at other people. I don't know if I'm crazy or whatever, but like looking at somebody, I can't connect if you're wearing a mask. I don't know how people do it.
It's also... I mean, you can't connect because you can't see their face.
Right.
And that's just
like,
very simple.
Like, I can't trust. I feel like this is a bizarre interaction. I like am weirded out
right now.
Like
I was saying
right
about
now.
My dog, right? Like it's a innate thing. Like if you can't see someone's face, you don't know who you're trusting. You don't know who you're speaking
to.
Just like an animal, right? You know,
I feel like there's something physiological there that probably affects people differently.
Because
I feel like myself and probably Kiri, you, most people on Earth, very affected by it. Like I'm bothered, yo, take those masks off. And it's like now, yeah, there's still occasionally people, but when it's in the minority, you know, it's okay. It doesn't bother
and
me the same
I think
way.
that was the main reason why, one of the main reasons why I didn't want my children being around that, because I didn't want...
Normalizes it.
Yes. Yeah. It not just even normalizes it, but it affects their brains. I mean, they're developing and they need to see faces. I look at these babies, even now, like... Because babies didn't wear masks, at least hopefully they didn't wear masks. I always made sure I smile as big as possible when you would see a baby because they're not seeing faces. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, that baby would smile huge back at you because of the reaction, you know. And they need that for their development. And this was just sick. It was cruel. It really was. I mean, for me, masks were so personal from, you know, personal experience, but prior issues and I just it just really drove me. It was just heartbreaking. It was like a physical reaction to wearing and even, you know, because I did have to wear them when I would, you know, work, and I never put it over my nose because I just could not, and put it on my chin as much as possible unless somebody said something to me, but as long as it was on my face somewhere, you know. But it was just, that was something I could not avoid. You know, I can't be like, hey, listen, I'm not gonna
yeah.
You signed a contract and, you know.
So you mentioned your business there. You're a photographer,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I am.
So what's the name of your business?
Danielle Drury Design.
So, well, Walk me through what that was. I mean,
well, that was,
'cause that's all dependent on like events, right?
Of course. Yeah. And in 2020, obviously there weren't any. After that, I shot my last normal wedding in February 22nd of 2020. And that was it. I mean, everything beyond that, I mean, we're getting back to normal weddings. And for the most, actually, I shouldn't say getting back to, by the end of, by the end of 2020, fall of 2020, because we were allowed to start shooting weddings again in July,
right,
or having weddings again, right? Events in July. And by October, they were normal. 2021, normal. I mean, it was, you know, the tables were super spaced apart,
yeah,
and things like that. But once people start drinking,
there you go.
everything was gone, you know, like restrictions were gone, and a lot of venues weren't really riding people, which was good, because that would ruin an event. You know, you're going to ruin. I saw some really sad things that, you know, conflicts between family members and guests not coming because they weren't enforcing masks and things like that. Oh, and it was sad. It was sad.
These
it
are
really
major
was.
Life events.
Absolutely. That you missed out on. And I there was a wedding that I had in, I forget if that was 2020 or it was last year, where the bride's parents had to miss it because they were in quarantine, because they had an exposure the day before and they missed their daughter's entire wedding.
That's
they were on an iPad. Yeah.
On an iPad.
They were on an iPad.
And I mean, now we're sitting here today. I mean, quarantine.
Yeah.
This is dumb.
It is. But just imagine that. Like, you know, you missed something. Like, you can't get that back.
You can't, right?
You know, it's not like just, you know, oh, I'm not going to go to this, you know, birthday party or something like that. This is your child's wedding. And it's heartbreaking. That really is.
Looking ahead from here, I mean, there's a whole big question of like, where do we go from here? Is this just coming back in the fall when cases surge again, which they will every single year? I have to believe that we're at like some kind of an end. So a big thing you got to do is kind of take stock. Like, this was 2 years. This was legit 2 years of people missing stuff like that. You think about everything that kids missed in their milestones, which...
2 years in a kid's life is huge.
That's a lot of time.
I mean, some of these kids who are in school... They don't know what normal school was like, you know, and that's sad. And some of these kids they're so attached to their masks, they won't take them off. And that makes me, it just breaks my heart. It really does. It's sad. And not to say, you know, I always joke and say I'm psychic and I call myself Miss Cleo, but it's true. Some of us had the foresight to see that this is where it was going to go, and it was going to go nowhere good. And it was obvious what was happening, and this wasn't about protecting you. Because what was that flimsy little piece of crap going to do on your face?
Oh, let's address. We've been talking about the whole mask thing the whole time. It's now widely accepted everywhere.
Yes.
Cloth did nothing.
Nothing.
Surgical masks did barely anything at all. Certainly not worth all of the harms that they've caused.
No.
So the only thing that does anything... is if you wear like an N95 to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, for 2 years, we were made out to be nuts, conspiracy theorists for pointing that out. And now it's just widely accepted.
Yeah.
Total
you
truth.
You can't, look at what Philadelphia School District did, right? Like, instead of saying, you know what?
Double
it
down.
Appears that they were wearing these cloth masks that didn't do anything. And maybe it was just like they weren't wearing masks at all this whole time. Instead of saying, oh, you know what? Let's just remove them. No, we're going to do a KN95s. And that's mind blowing because I come back to, I feel sad for the people who actually, you know, really do.
They've beaten down this story that like, you always have to be doing something. It doesn't matter what it is. We just need to mitigate, do something.
Yeah.
Whereas it's never a question of like, is doing something better or worse than taking an alternate approach from a risk perspective. There's never like a balance or a decision. It's just, are we doing something? Mm-hmm. If we are, good. If we aren't, bad.
Yeah. Well, I think obviously when you sign up for life, you sign up for risk, right? And there's risk and there's reward, right? And if you don't take risks, you can't have any, there's never any reward. And sometimes risk, you know, doesn't work out and you can get hurt. Mm-hmm. But that's all about learning and growing, right? You know, I think even now, like all this stuff, it makes me, the psychology of it makes me think like, you know, putting like bumpers on coffee tables for babies and things like that. And it's like, well, we're removing risk in everything in general, not just babies, but even as adults. Like this was removing risk, right? So then when we're met with any kind of
like a true
challenge,
threat,
right, yeah, or a threat, we don't know how to function because we don't have bumpers, right? We don't have safety measures.
It all totally feels to me like a reflection of just where society's at, that we were very primed to be treated this way.
It removes all critical thinking because you cannot problem solve. Your problem solving skills, you're now relying upon someone else to solve the problem for you.
So you said in there, you know, some version of a saying I've come to love, which is where there's risk, there must be choice. Mm-hmm. You called your group Unmasking Monka. We spent this whole time talking about masks, but you would come upon a whole huge second issue in Montgomery County, which was with the vaccine mandates. I feel like Merck was a crazy big story there. There were like protests outside of Merck.
Yeah.
That was all organized like through your guys' group on
Masking Monka. That was me and some others that we did. We had family members and neighbors, loved ones who, when that vaccine mandate came down in August, we were like, oh no, we can't do this. So we organized and got them organized, and they kind of just, they did their own thing, and they did a great job. They really did. And most of them prevailed and are standing strong. And I couldn't be prouder of these people. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they didn't know each other at all. And took a chance, 35 of them, and met in a park and stood in a circle and spoke their truth. And it was very emotional. And it was very, it was so, you know, there's so many emotions surrounding that one day, that first meeting, for I think everyone. I think everyone there would say that, because you saw, they all felt alone. They all felt scared. And then within minutes, they knew they weren't anymore.
Because you have 35, your tribe.
Right. Yeah.
That's something I consistently always hear from people who I talk to, and I expect them to say, thank you for doing this or thank you for doing that. Like talking about particular things, achievements or whatever. It's always the same. It's, you know, thanks because now we know our community. We have our tribe and our like-minded people.
Absolutely.
And that changes the experience for people massively.
Oh, it does. And like you were saying about Unmasking Monka, and the masks are gone, right? They're gone. I'll never change the name of the group because it's nostalgic now. But it's become more than that. It's now a community, just like Reopen Box. Yeah. Like it's a community of people who have grown friendships and who have found camaraderie in others and, you know, like-minded or and some of them maybe weren't always like-minded, but they found home, a sense of home where there wasn't one.
It matters. It makes a huge difference to people. So where does that community go then? Because we're approaching like a hiatus for Reopen Box is what we're calling it. And I think everybody knows this is coming back this fall.
Absolutely.
Get past election, get high cases. Yep. People are going to do what they can. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back. But at the same time, you know, when things are good, do we need to be fighting right now? Or should we just go back to our lives and gear up for the next fight? What's in store for Unmasking Monka?
I mean, it's kind of just runs itself now, honestly. The people, it's become like a sounding board, a community, like people asking questions. I need a doctor for this. I need someone here, you know, to help me with whatever, you know, shout out to businesses and what have you. So we haven't organized any events in quite some time, but, I wouldn't be opposed to that in the future. But do I think masks will come back for the county? I don't know. I don't know because I don't know. You never know what she's going to pull.
Yeah.
So, you know, wild card sometimes, or what's going to come down for her to have to do. Right.
Exactly. And it's going to be very affected by the election. Was the 2020 presidential election that changed so much.
Yeah. Well, right now they everything has to go away so they can get votes. You know, they want their people in. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. But no, I don't think any of this goes away. The people have to make it go away. Do I think if masks come back that people are going to happily put them back on again? No. And I think it grows yours and Unmasking Monka. I think it only grows.
Every wave of some type of mitigation or orders or mandates, every single time, huge wave into the group.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's good. And the more they push on us, the more people wake up and the more that come to our side. So
we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. It's going to get crazy.
I know. Well, thanks for everything you've done with Unmasking Monka. It's awesome to have resistance in China Monco, the communist part of the state.
It really
I
is.
Guess if Bucks is the Florida, you guys are toughing it out like in the New York.
Yeah. Ooh, I know. Scary. Scary to think about. But yeah, accurate.
It's the good fight. You're fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
And making a big difference. I mean, I'm thinking back to all the different, you know, schools that you got folks making groups in North Penn and Souderton and all this stuff that kind of flows from these same initial efforts. It makes a big difference.
It does. It does. And it helps that we all get along so awesome, you know, and can, you know, bounce things off of each other, and we work together instead of against each other, which only makes us stronger.
Yeah. Community.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Danielle. And thanks for everything you do.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
See you.